Easter Sunday right here at Kenton, Ohio. Amen. Hallelujah. I tell you what, the Lord is so good to us, isn't he?
Yes.
And right here at Only Believe, we're so excited about all that he's doing and what he's going to continue to do in us. Amen. I hope you were able to get some snacks in between service. Woo! You know I enjoyed that. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to step into a time of worship, and God is just going to bless us, okay?
Amen.
Amen.
This is the sound of troubles rattling.
brains make a 10-man rock again. Open in the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. Open the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. Open the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. This is the sound of dry bones rattling.
simple question. Do you believe it? Let's sing it again. Is this too much?
Punches for you, but no crowns was laid on their head. Someone may have stood up for you in so many ways, but they never took nails for you. They never took spitting up on the face and stripes and beaten on the back and sight pierced for you. But he did, all be for your sins and that you may have eternal life. God was just showing me he is the only one, his son is the only one that died on the cross for you.
Amen. Amen.
if you've backslidden, if you've not been where you know you need to be, listen, we have all made this walk several times. None of us are perfect, and we've all had to repent of something and set our course straight again. So don't be, I hate that people would feel shameful to come up because they've done something wrong. We've all done something wrong. Amen. So don't look at somebody and judge them for anything. Love them. And know, but for the grace of God, we're all up here at this altar again at some point in our life. Amen. We are all coming again before Him and putting ourselves before Him and say, God, I messed up again. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. I repent. Help me. Refocus me. If that's you today, any of those things, we usually don't make you come up. But there's just something in the presence of what God is doing today that I want you just to be bold and come up here. Come up here. Listen, we've all had this walk. I've walked it, I can't tell you how many times. You say, what? Yes. Refocusing on Jesus and not the things of the world is an important thing to do. I've done it in my house. Lord God, I'm sorry. I've put this and this above you. And I didn't even realize that it had switched places. And I repent. Forgive me for switching places. I want to put you back here. Help me to refocus on you. So if that's you tonight, as they're singing this, the altar is open. Come up here, and we'll come up and pray with you, okay?
Lord. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I tell you what, we serve a great God. Amen. He is a great God. Hallelujah.
There's none like him.
Amen.
There's none like him.
Amen.
Everything that he did, everything that he went through, just for you and I. What an amazing God we serve.
Amen.
Amen. Are you saying hi backwards or are you hot? You and Roger's on my list right now, so you're all kidding me. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for family. Amen. Amen. I love y'all. We just love y'all. We're thankful for family.
Yes, we are.
We just think this is only possible because of the one who gave us life.
Amen. Amen. You know, I was thinking about that today. We wouldn't even be here today if it wasn't for this day that Jesus resurrected on Resurrected Sunday, huh? Amen. On Resurrection Day. Amen.
Amen.
And that if he had not done what he did, none of us would be here now. Amen. But because he's so faithful, we're here and we have life and life more abundantly. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
And since you are here and we're here, why not take full advantage of what the word says we can have? Why do we not walk in the full authority of what God says we can have?
Amen.
We believe salvation, did we not? Because we accepted Jesus. So won't we believe what everything else is written in that word and walk in the authority that he's given us?
Amen.
You know, if we did this, and listen, I'm speaking to myself too. But if we did this, when a trial or temptation, where a mountain came and stood in front of me, and it seemed like I couldn't get through, I would just laugh and say, no, not today, devil. Because my God's already given me the victory. So until this moves, I'm going to praise him.
Amen.
Until this moves, I'm not going to sit down.
Amen.
I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to get mad. I'm not going to question why, because that's me. Lord, what made this happen? What do I do to get out of it? Like, I'm constantly thinking there's something I've done wrong.
Amen.
Tell me what I've done wrong. Nope, no questioning, because God is my Father, and I serve him, and I praise him, and I read his word, and I stay before him. Amen. So he said that he's going to get me out of every single trial or tribulation that will come my way,
Amen.
That he will get me through it, that if a mountain needs to move, it will move.
Amen.
Praise Amen.
The name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen.
It's time to quit sliding the cross.
Amen.
And take the fullness of what the cross did for us and accept everything Jesus did.
Amen.
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 You agree?
I agree.
Okay, then I don't have to work anymore. Right? Because if we're going to go by the Bible, the curse was
that man had to work by the sweat of his brow.
What was my curse?
You'd have difficulty during childbirth.
Look at that boy. I did my part.
So now I should have to work, but you shouldn't.
No, it is a joy for me to work for the Lord.
Amen.
I'm telling you, a joy to work for the Lord.
Amen.
We get to come in here and we get to lift him up. You get to go home in your bedroom or your house or any place in there, and you get to talk to the Lord any time you want. We take this for granted, because in the Old Testament, they had to bring a lamb, a sacrifice, to the temple, had to be sacrificed, and the priest went in. Not him talking straight to you. You didn't have a straight path to him.
Yes.
But we do.
Amen.
Use it. Use it.
We ask anything in his
name. Amen. I saw this, and I'm obviously, if I say it, it's probably hit me first. Are you praying for things as much as you've complained about things?
Uh-oh. Woo.
Right? I can't even take credit for that. I saw it somewhere. And I'm telling you, it hit me hard and said, Lord, I've been unfaithful in my thanksgiving to you. Forgive me. I want to be more praying about something than complaining. I don't even want to complain. What's there to complain about? What's there to complain about?
Amen.
I didn't have to go to the cross. I didn't have to get beaten. I didn't have to get nails shoved through my hands and my feet. I didn't go through any of that.
Amen.
What is there to complain about? You know, if you think about the full picture of this, we just see what's right in front of us or what we're going through. Let's open our view back up and see the full picture.
Amen.
Amen.
Of what he's done for us, of how faithful
Absolutely.
He's been, of where he's brought us through already.
Come on.
And where he'll take us to, and how much he's with us, and how much he's loved us, and just how much he does for us on a day-to-day basis.
And how much he's wiped away your past.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. He has wiped it away. As far as the east is from the west. Mm-hmm. Listen, if we went on our past and if we were worthy enough to do stuff for God, neither one of us two would be standing up here in front of you right now.
Amen.
I'm just telling you. I'm just telling you. We start to look at people and we think, oh, they're just perfect. Now, I know you don't look at me and think I'm perfect.
Right.
Phil's perfect.
Yeah, right.
No. But I'm saying that people do sometimes look at pastors and look at people who preach the word and think they're perfect and think that, look how they've got it together.
But we have to walk
we don't
out
have it
our
together all the time.
Just like you.
We don't have it together all the time.
Yeah.
But this has been a 30-year race for me already.
Yeah.
Come on. I didn't just start yesterday. So I would hope to God it would look like there was something cleaned up in my life after
amen,
30
amen,
years.
Amen.
But you didn't see me on day one. Sister,
amen.
You may have looked at me and said, are you sure she's saved? She's a work in progress, and
amen.
She is still being worked on today. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Amen. God,
amen.
We just
we
need
all
to,
are.
Amen. Amen. I just hear the Lord saying, when you look at the cross, don't just see salvation. See everything I've given you. If you
mm-hmm.
can believe salvation, then believe the rest of what I gave you.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And walk in it.
Amen.
Walk in the authority. He wants you to.
Amen.
How many of you in your mother, father's house, we'll do it that way, in your mother, father's house that you grew up in, if they still live in it or if they lived in a place for a long time, do you just walk in the front door, no knocking, you go to the fridge, get whatever you want, you make yourself cozy, you go sit down, and you just start talking? How many of you do that?
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Because their house is my house, because I'm their child.
Amen.
Philip does it. Philip does it when we ain't home. That boy, he don't sit down. He'll just go in there, get the stuff out of the refrigerator, and go home.
Amen.
It's his mama's house. It's his daddy's house.
Amen.
So therefore, it's his. It's the way he sees it. I'll let him see it with food, but we start getting to the cars and stuff. But I'm just saying, that's how you guys are with your father, or that's how you should be.
Amen.
Walk into his presence with boldness. You're his daughter.
Amen.
You're his son.
Yep.
He's paid that price for you.
Yeah.
And he didn't do it just because he wanted you to stay in a state where you didn't think you were worthy.
Yes.
No, he did it to
Amen.
Let you know how much he loves you.
Amen.
And even though none of us were worthy,
Amen.
He sent his son Jesus anyway because he wants us to come in.
Amen.
And
come
fellowship.
Boldly before that throne of grace.
Just grab it all.
We can receive mercy and grace.
Grab it all. Quit
boldly.
Allowing us to, like, I sit here myself too, and I'm telling you, I'm speaking to myself right now, but quit living in less than in a lack, because you can't see yourself like Jesus sees you.
Mm.
Because you can't reach out and grab everything. Or you just, I'm sorry, I'm not even going to look at you. Or you just want to be lazy and don't want to do it.
Mm.
I'm Uh-oh. Sorry.
Uh-oh.
I'm not trying to make anybody mad, I promise.
Ooh.
But there is an enemy seeking your life. And your kids' and their kids' and their kids' and your neighbors'. We have to grab the fullness of that.
Yes.
I was listening this morning to the Spirit, and he was doing offering. And even at home, this came to me about how he blesses you with such a blessing that there's not room enough contained. He'll open up the windows of heaven, and he'll bless you with a blessing that there's not room enough to contain. We know that's in Malachi, and it's along with the tithes. But we also know that he's not just talking about money, right?
Right.
And I thought about it this morning as I was getting ready. And he said, Regina, I want to open up the windows and pour so much peace that it overflows to everybody that you walk around.
Amen.
I want to pour so much joy that as you're walking around,
Amen.
It just overflows and grabs people.
Amen.
they see it and they can't help but to be curious what's going on. Amen. I want to fill you with such a fire from God that it's catchy.
Amen.
That people are catching it.
Praise God.
Listen, when we talk about blessing you beyond what you can understand, beyond what you can handle, give me the fire of God over money any day.
Amen.
You can have the money. Amen. Give me the fire. Give me the ability to walk by somebody and peace fall on them in a moment's time.
Amen. Amen.
Joy. Laughter that they haven't had. That's more valuable to me than any of that other stuff.
Yeah.
You know, we just took our grandbabies and we did something with them. And watching the joy on their face was worth it all to us.
Yep.
Like, feels like, Regina, he just keeps smiling all the way around. Like, he could see his face and I couldn't see his face. He just has a smile on his face all the way around this thing. It's the lazy river. He's just smiling.
Yep.
And I said, it makes it all worth it. Because we were dog tired. Let me tell you, kids, water, and old people do not mix. Ooh. Jesus got us through it. We slept all day yesterday. Jesus got us through it.
I was about to say, with the Lord's help.
Amen. Amen. But it was so sweet. And I looked at it. And Phil and I just looked at each other and said, it makes it all worth it. I'm human. My grandbabies are human. What do you think God thinks when joy hits your life so much?
Yeah, amen.
When you're just joyful and you're at peace. Amen? And you're sharing him. Man, he looks at Jesus and Jesus looks back and Jesus says, it was all worth it. It was all worth it. I'd do it again for you, God. I'd do it again for you, Father. Because look at them. Look at them when your spirit hits them. When they say, Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and Savior, look at that.
Amen.
They became a new creature. Those old things passed away. And look at the things that they're doing now. Drop that peace into them, Lord. Heal them. Break those chains off of them.
Amen.
Listen, he takes pleasure in your joy.
Amen.
And peace. And contentment.
Amen.
And pouring out blessings on you.
Amen.
It gives him much pleasure. Amen.
Amen.
So I think we just need to step into it.
Yes.
And we need to learn to receive it.
Yes. Amen.
Some people think that it's just that old devil.
Yep.
Thinking the old way, the carnal way, thinking we are who we've heard that we are our whole life. Thinking that we still are that old person that don't deserve anything because this is what we messed up. This is how we messed up. Stop. Judas was with him and he knew he betrayed him. He already knew it. And he washed his feet and he fed him. Why? Because until the end, God loves you so much. He loves you so much. You are worth it. Everything to him. Everything. Just like your kids are to you. And if you don't have kids, man, you should have kids just for the grandkids.
Amen.
That step was necessary to get to the next step. That next step is amazing. Just telling you. Amazing.
Yes, it is, baby.
But God's is more amazing.
Yes.
And he's ready to do it for you. If you're ready to receive it from him. Amen.
Yes, he is. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Well, we got the women's breakfast coming up. I'll just do the couple announcements and then I'll disappear down to there. We have the women's breakfast coming up. It's going to be on the 7th of May at 9:00 here at the church. I said I was going to make you breakfast and I had like three women approach me, say, we want to help you. So I'm like, okay, I'll let you help me. I'm good.
So there's going to be some of us that make the breakfast for that morning. So just come on up. But it's also a Bible study. It's not just a breakfast. It's a Bible study. Marie Miller will be our first one that goes over it. And then what we're just going to do, if you haven't heard me talk about it, is each time we have it's going to be the first Saturday of every month. And every time we have one, there is going to be somebody different leading the Bible study. I think we're going to learn a lot from each other. I think we're going to grow strength from each other's stories, and I'm just looking forward to it. So I couldn't Amen. Tell you, men, sorry, I don't know when your breakfast is.
All right, well, I think the next thing we're going to do before we release the kids is we're going to have our family communion. So if you want to, every one of you who did not get to take communion yet or who wants to take communion, if you want to come up now and get your sacraments here, we'll do communion. Whenever we take communion, it's a reminder of the last meal that Jesus had with his disciples. And it's a very critical time because it's something that Jesus had very important words to his disciples to say concerning taking of the bread. So we're going to look in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and I'm just going to read to you what it says. For I have received of the Lord that which also I deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And so every time we take communion, this is to draw our remembrance to what Jesus did on the cross for us and what he was willing to pay a price for us. And this is to strengthen us so that we can live this life and we can be in pursuit of him. This is to cause us to be able to stay the course and think about him and think about what he did for us and be able to stay the course and handle our own trials and battles with keeping the faith. Amen? And so this morning, as we take and eat this, it's just going to be a remember of what he suffered in his body for us on the cross. And then it says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 25, after the same manner also he took the cup which he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Now every time we drink, we do it in symbolic remembrance of the blood that he shed for us, that we would have life and be able to live as Christians and have eternal life and his great goodness that he did for us on the cross. And this is also our reminder to keep us again until he returns, until he comes again, or until we go home to be with him. So this morning, we're going to drink in the name of the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we have received this communion, God, let us just thank you and bless your holy name, God. Let us just lift you up and be reminded that every time we do this, it's a reminder of your coming and your coming again, Father, of how you overcame the cross, and Lord, how you're going to return for all of us. And Father, we just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Cool. Now we're going to let all those children go to children's church. Praise God. Hallelujah. They're going to get out of here and have a good Resurrection Sunday. Amen. Amen. Okay, and then what we're going to do next is we're going to take up the offering. Almost forgot the offering. Could have did it at the end. And this today, what we're going to do for offering is, instead of me preaching at you, we're just out of the thankfulness of our heart for Resurrection Sunday, out of the thankfulness for what we know concerning the Lord, we're just going to bring our offering up after we pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just pray over the offering this morning, God, that you would just bless everybody, God. Lord, those who have to give and those who don't, God, you're going to help them and show them how to build their faith in this area, God. And Father, I just pray blessing over tithes and offerings. And God, you're going to make sure that you take care of the devourer for our sakes, God. And you're going to bless our seed and keep it and let it come to fullness. And God, we just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. On this Resurrection Sunday, we're just going to take a look at the scriptures and just share a few things out of them about the time that Jesus resurrected and what that means to us and how it impacted our life. Because first of all, we do know that historically this is the greatest day that we've ever had in the world. Listen, I know that there's been great events. There's been wars and all kinds of stuff, but there has never been an event more impactful on this world and on humanity than the day that Jesus was resurrected. Now, his birth was a great day, and thank God for him being born in that manger. But until he went to the cross and fulfilled the destiny of being resurrected, the true power of Jesus was not released in its fullness until that time. But since it has been, now we get the benefit of living out of that blessing that Jesus put forth for us. Amen? And we're thankful to God that we get to live in this blessing. And the Bible says in the book of Luke chapter 24 verse 6, he's not here but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles, and their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran into the sepulcher, and stooping down, he beheld the linen cloths laid by themselves and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. I'm going to take a look at some of these things, because while we're looking at these, we're going to just see some things about the disciples and their reaction and how the Lord still handled them and how they were still able to fulfill destiny. And it should encourage us to know that we can do destiny fulfillment, because if they can do it, we can do it. Amen? Now, it says right here in the book of John that I'm going to begin to read in verse 3, I think. Peter therefore went forth and that other disciple and came to the sepulcher. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulcher. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes laying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulcher, and seeth the linen cloths lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not laying with the linen cloths, but wrapped together in the place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulcher, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again into their own house, but Mary stood without the sepulcher weeping. And as she wept, she stood down and looked in the sepulcher and seen two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had laid. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She supposed him to be the gardener, saying unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith to her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended unto my Father, but go to thy brethren and say unto them, I ascended unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Isn't it amazing that these guys had been with Jesus and had knew the story, but when he was truly resurrected, sometimes they couldn't even recognize him. And I just want to share with you today that sometimes we will get confused and we start to condemn ourselves because we feel like, oh no, if I've made this much of a mistake or if I've done this wrong, then how can Jesus help me? And sometimes I'm not telling you that we shouldn't want to walk in a line of greatness with the Lord, because we do. We want to walk as closely in faith as we possibly can, and we want to follow Jesus as close as we possibly can. But I'm also telling you that there are times where we may get confused or not be able to see everything we thought we were going to see in this walk. Timing may be different. Things may not happen as fast as we thought. They may not happen the way that we thought they were. But it doesn't mean that the resurrection power of the Lord isn't right there ready to help you, because Mary was looking in the tomb and he was right there within their presence ready to help her out of her situation. Amen? So we need to understand that Jesus on Resurrection Sunday is right here ready to help us. Amen? And he wants us to be able to reach towards him every time that he calls for us and every time that we call for him. I think it's amazing because Mary saw the Lord, and the only thing she did different than the other disciples was look into where he was supposed to be. The other disciples came, looked, and walked away, and they didn't see nothing. But Mary came and just stayed there, and because she stayed there, all of a sudden she was able to see the Lord. Amen? And I want you to understand something, that this is how it is for us, that if we're willing to stay there and we're willing to wait, we will see the Lord. Then the same day at evening, being in the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. Man, you're going to see that. This is one thing the Lord keeps saying, peace be unto you. And I believe it's something he's saying to us today, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the disciples, 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see his hands, the prints of the nails, and put my finger into the prints of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas was with them. Then came Jesus in the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, O my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. You know, I want you to know something, that the Lord is looking for you to believe in him by faith. Now, I'm not opposed to us having visions and dreams and experiences, because I believe that's a part of our faith. But I'm telling you that the Lord expects you to believe in him by faith, and let his word guide you and lead you, and let his word be what you go by. And the Lord will help you and bless you. I also want you to see here that it was 8 days in between sightings of Jesus and these disciples. And that's because he was on the earth for a period of time doing works after he was resurrected. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. It's amazing to me, because the very next chapter in John 21 says that if everything was written that Jesus did, the world couldn't contain all the books. And here what we learn is that what's written in the Bible was hand-selected by God through men, even though men wrote it. It was hand-selected by God, and the stories that are recorded in the Bible are so that you would believe. So that you would have the words of faith that can help you in every situation and teach you truth and help you believe in God that has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Amen? I want to read to you in the book of Acts just for a little bit, because I think this is exciting. And it says in Acts chapter 1, verse 2, until the day in which he was taken up, after that, he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. I think this is an amazing scripture, because it lets us know that Jesus, after he was resurrected, wasn't here just for a day, was he? No, it says that he was here for 40 days. During miracles. You know, 40 in the Bible is the recovery of a generation. Remember, Moses was 40 days fasting. Christ was 40 days in the wilderness battling Satan. And here he stays 40 days after he's resurrected during miracles and reinforcing the things of the kingdom and reinforcing what he did on this earth to let men have their opportunity to live for him. Amen. That is a powerful, powerful thing that God was with them all that time and that the Lord stayed all that time to make sure that we understood and we could see the miracles that he wanted to do for us. Amen. And I want to just read something else here in Matthew chapter 27. Verse 49, it says, "The rest said, 'Let be, let us see whether Elias will come to save him.' Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost." This is while Jesus was still on the cross. "And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top of the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, 'Truly this was the Son of God.'" I want you to know, and I don't know his name, I forget, so I probably shouldn't even bring it up, but there is a man that worked for the FBI and all those agencies. And you know how he got saved? He was an investigator, and he just started reading through the Bible and going over and investigating all the cities in Jerusalem. And after he had investigated, he said, "My goodness," he said, "if I was thinking of all the cases in the world that we tried to prove something in a case," he said, "there's so much evidence of the proofs of Jesus," he says, "I myself cannot deny it." And I think this is a great story here where it's not written in our, it's written in the Bible, but also there are stories in Jerusalem in their own books where they record the fact that saints came out of the graves and spoke about Jesus and his love and gave testimony of his goodness. So they were seeing the King Davids and they were seeing the people that had went before and died, and here they were before they were transitioned to heaven and before paradise was gone. They were coming out of the graves and letting people know, because now the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen? Amen. But that wasn't possible till Jesus resurrected from the cross. Amen? Yes. You could die in faith and you were saved, but you could not go to heaven until the blood was shed. Remember when he said to Mary, "Hey, don't touch me yet. I've not yet ascended into my Father." See, he had to make that ascension into his Father and present himself as that sacrifice. And then it was okay for him to be touched and handled. And then it was okay. You know, the other thing that I'm going to go on and talk about here, even before I read the scripture about being resurrected and know no man except for after the resurrection, you know, we always talk about the Lord as the Savior. But we forget to mention that he's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And today, one thing I want you to know, that in his resurrection, we need to remember that he's no longer just Savior to you, but he's Lord and Savior. Amen. I want to remind you that in the book of Exodus, it says, "Our God is a warrior and the Lord is his name." And I want you to know something, that our God deserves through Jesus to be respected and loved and made aware that we reverence him, that we're not in fear. That's for the world to be in fear. It's for devils and darkness and the stuff that's not saved to be in fear. But we should have a great reverence and a high honor and a respect for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Yes. Remember, the Bible says, "How can you call me Lord and not do the things that I ask you to do?" That's Luke 6:46. So we need to not just reverence him as our Savior and be thankful that he rose from the cross because he's Savior, but we know him now after the resurrection. We know that he is Lord God, and he's right by the Father in heaven, and he's part of the Godhead, and therefore we reverence him because of that. Amen? And we honor him and worship him because of that. Amen? Hallelujah. I just want to remind you of one thing that's so important here in the book of Acts. And we find it in chapter 3, but it says that in Acts chapter 3, verse 26, verse 25, "Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and they seed, thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you, and turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Isn't it amazing that the first thing God did when he sent Jesus was send him to bless us? Wow. And that blessing came through the cross. Because it even says here, turning away every one of you from your iniquities. You know, until he went to the cross, we couldn't completely be turned away from our iniquities. Amen? And they found out that the blood sacrifice of animals and stuff was not enough. And we needed Jesus to go to the cross so that we could be set free from sin and iniquities and darkness, and we could have a relationship of salvation in Jesus. Amen? And so this is what we want to make sure that we understood that we do have, and that we walk in this relationship with the Lord. Because that's the first thing he did was send him to bless us. I'm going to read something to you in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 20. It says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work. And that word perfect means complete. Make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. I want you to know that you do have the strength to do good work. You have the strength to do his will. Remember, he's working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ. I want you to know that God put this whole plan together so that you were able to do the good work of the kingdom. Amen? And the Lord is with you in every aspect of what you are doing for him and with him and in him. It says in Titus chapter 2, verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. See, again, this is attuning to the fact that he's not only Savior, but he's Lord. Amen? And we have to be willing to follow him and do what he asks us to do, and we have to make sure that we walk in accordance with the Lord in order for us to be in a true salvation relationship with him. And then I'm going to read some things out of the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and it says in verse 14, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. See, that's what's so important about this, is we're no longer living unto ourselves. We're living unto Christ. And listen, we should have things that are on our plate, like families and working and all that stuff. God loves all that stuff. But at the same time, we should have things on our plate that are strictly pointed towards the Lord, like trying to perfect our character, trying to perfect our nature, trying to be more Christ-like on a daily basis. These are things that will not just help us, but they'll help every relationship we have. And they'll help us with our families. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. All things have become new. We're new creatures. We're no longer who we used to be. We belong to God. And because of the resurrection power of the blood, we can get rid of old identities and we can grab a hold of the identity that belongs to us. Amen? Because the identity that belongs to us was written in heaven before we were ever even formed in our mother's womb. Amen? I want you to know that the Lord had a destiny for you and a plan for you before you were ever released on this earth. Amen? And I want you to know that even now he has a destiny and a plan for you that's bigger than what you can even imagine or think. Amen? And he did this for you, not just for your benefit, but also for the world's benefit. The Lord's expecting that because we live for him, we'll help others come and live for him. God's expecting that because we live for him, others will be touched by our life. Amen? Remember, the Bible says that there's a hope. People ought to see a hope in you, and that hope in you ought to give them curiosity to ask you, what is your hope? And you get to tell them, it's Jesus. Amen? People ought to be able to see that there's a difference about you. There's a joy about you, a peace about you. Even in difficult situations, when they look at you, they see a peaceful person, and they wonder, how in the world can they have all this peace with everything going on? And you can tell them, it's not me, it's Jesus. Amen? Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Well, I tell you what, this has been a great Resurrection Sunday. And I believe that the Lord has been good to us. Amen? And I believe that God is just working some things out even now. I feel like some of you may be having physical issues, but God is healing. There's a presence of the Lord here right now. I believe God is healing and doing some things for people. And remember, I will be up here to pray for anybody. So if we miss something during the prayer time, don't be afraid to come up. But in the meantime, I'm going to pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just declare your glory today. Father, we just lift you up and exalt you and declare your goodness, God. And Father, I thank you that on this Resurrection Sunday that we will no longer look at ourselves after the flesh, God, but we'll look at ourselves through your eyes, Father. Lord, we'll be in pursuit of you, in pursuit of your destiny for us, Father. And Lord, you will help us in every area of this thing called life because you're with us, God. And we give you the glory and the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, okay. Oh. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just put Charlene before you, Father. And Lord, we just ask you to help whatever's going on with her, God. Lord, whether it be sickness or whether it be anything else, God, I just pray for grace and strength and mercy and peace to be upon her, God. And Lord, that you would just help her at this time in a great way, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I don't know if there's any snacks left out there, but there should be, and I hope you grab some if they are. And in the meantime, I hope that you have a wonderful, wonderful finish to your resurrection day in the Lord, okay? Amen. Praise God.